In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the introit of this Mass, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of Daniel. Exiled to Babylon with his people, the prophet, in that captivity whose years of bitterness were a figure of the still longer and more intense sufferings of the present dispersion, he laments with Judah in that strange land, and at the same time instructs his people how they may be readmitted into God's favor. It is a secret which Israel had lost ever since his commission of the crime on Calvary, the crucifixion of our Lord. Though in the previous ages of his history, Israel had been the inheritor of God's covenant. The secret of this covenant has been and still is this: the humble avowal, that is, admission of the sinner's faults, the suppliant regret of the culprit, and the sure confidence that God's mercy is infinitely above the sins of men, however grave they may have been. As the nuptials, the wedding feasts of the Son of God approach their final completion, in these last Sundays before the beginning of Advent and the readings of the Mass, there will also be, on the side of hell, a redoubling of rage against the bride with a determination to destroy her. The dragon of the apocalypse, the old serpent who seduced Eve, will vomit his vile foam, a river, from his mouth. That is, he will urge on all the passions of man that they may league together for his ruin. But do what he will, he could never weaken the bond of the eternal alliance, and having no power against the church herself, he will turn his fury against the last children of the new Eve, who will have the perilous honor of those final battles described by the prophet of Patmos, St. John the Apostle, the beloved disciple of our Lord. It will be then, when the world nears its end, more than at all previous times, that the faithful will have to remember the command given to us by the Apostle in today's epistle. That is, they will have to comport themselves with a very great vigilance, taking every possible care to keep their understanding, no less than their heart, pure. Supernatural light will, in these last days, not only have to withstand the attacks of the children of darkness, who will put forward their false doctrines, it will, moreover, be minimized and falsified, even by the very children of light, yielding on the questions of principles. It will be endangered by the hesitations and compromises of human prudence, of those who many think of as far-seeing or broad-minded men. These closing weeks of the year in former times were called the weeks of the holy angel. For we have seen, in one of these Sundays, how there was announced the great archangel's coming to the aid of God's people, as Daniel the prophet had foretold would be the case at the end of the world. So when, therefore, the final tribulations begin, when exile will scatter the faithful and the sword shall slay them, the world will look on in approval, prostrate as it is before the beast and his image. Let us not forget, when those days come, that we have a leader chosen by God and proclaimed by the church, a leader who will marshal us during those final combats in which the defeat of the saints, that is, their martyrdoms, will be more glorious than were the triumphs of the church in those days when she ruled the world. What God will then ask of his servants will not be the success of diplomatic arrangements, nor a victory won by arms, but fidelity to his truth. That is, to his word, a fidelity all the more generous and perfect, as there will be an almost universal falling away from the truth. Around this little army fighting under the banner of Saint Michael the Archangel, uttered by a single faithful heart and under such circumstances, uttered with the bravery of faith and the ardor of love, the cry of Saint Michael, which has always routed the infernal legions, will be a greater honor to God than will be the insult offered to him by the millions of the degraded followers of the beast. On this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, when in past times was read the gospel of the nuptials, the wedding feast of the Son of God, and the invitation to his divine banquet, our Holy Mother, the Church, appropriately in today's epistle, bids us to observe the immense difference that there is between the sacred delights of our faith and the sordid and pathetic joys of the world's feasts. The hideous sight of the earth's inhabitants, who will in the last days, by the thousands, by the millions, be paying homage to the harlot described in the 17th chapter of St. John's Apocalypse, who sits on the beast, it offers them the golden cup of her abominations. Not even that will interfere in the least with the bliss caused in heaven by the sight of those happy souls on earth who persevere through darkness and trials. The convulsions of a world in its last agony, the triumphs of the woman drunk with the blood of the martyrs, far from disrupting the harmony found in a soul united with the eternal word, they will only amplify the glory of God here on earth and make greater the sweetness of our works and our sufferings. The Apostle St. Paul tells us all this in his own magnificent way in these words: "Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or famine, or nakedness, or hunger, or persecution, or the sword? True, it is written, 'For thy sake we are put to death all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' But in all these things we overcome because of him that hath loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.